Hey, if you'd like to read with us. I come to church with basically two scriptures, and I feel more led to read out of St. John. But, you know, in Revelations, we're reading a book that sort of tries to, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. But it's like you're saying, what Revelation says, it don't mean what it's saying. It's something else. And they're taking things that's going to be just a few years and saying that goes from the ascension of Christ all the way to his coming back again, and then at 1,000 years. When it mentions that, it don't really mean 1,000 years and all of this. Well, you know, I was thinking back in the Old Testament where God prophesied that Israel was going to go into captivity for 70 years.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
His old prophet was in that. He was counting the days and that 70 years was up. Because he believed what God said, and it come to pass in 70 years.
Amen. That's right.
So if God tells you something's going to happen and it's going to take 1,000 years, you believe it. Man can be mistaken. God's never been wrong. Man can tell you something that's his opinion. God tells us what the facts is going to be. And you and I just latch on to what the Bible says. Don't follow something that somebody is saying, oh, it don't mean that, it means this. They may be sadly mistaken at the end of their life. Because, you know, if I tell you it don't mean that, it means this, I might as well change what it said. And the Bible tells me, I try and change it, I'm going to have the plagues on me. So when all is said and done, take what the Bible said. All right. You know, I'm afraid a lot of times we don't think about this when we're reading the Bible. But the same one that wrote St. John, the same one that wrote the little book of John that are Sunday school lessons have been taken out, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, wrote Revelation.
That's right.
And God put him in a special place when he was writing Revelation, when God gave it unto him. And he was put there because of his stand on the gospel. So, you know, and then where we're going to be reading to you here, you'll find this is the only one of the Gospels that I can remember that recorded this event as John recorded it. And I'm going to read this to you, and you can read the other places and see if I'm right on that. But here in the 18th chapter of St. John, we're going to start with the 4th verse. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. You don't find that in the other Gospels, that part right there that I can remember. This is the one where John recorded that. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword under the sheath. The cup which my father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And here in this, I just want each and every one of you to listen close to what this is saying. That very first verse that I read to you, the fourth. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, none of this was taking Christ by surprise. That's why he had already been praying there in the garden till his sweat become as great drops of blood. Why? Because that physical body that he was in, I believe, could already start to feel the pain that was going to be upon him over the next little while. And you and I, sir, he come down to where he was surrendered unto him. But he said, let these go. He knew they did now. What he needed in that time to stand and fight, it was a ways off under the day of Pentecost. When he got that, he was saying, the middle of my beginning of the courage to stand and look down to the pain. But this was a day that no man wanted. Everybody that had ever been crucified, they were just giving their life. But Christ was doing such more. He was taking my sin and your sin upon him. And he hung there on Calvary. And he knew all that was going to take place right there as he was in the garden. Well, he knew it all of his ministry and long time before he ever came. Because the plan of salvation, man can't figure that out. They can't understand that. But according to the Bible, from the foundation of the world, God seen that it was going to happen. Christ seen that it was going to happen. And he was the only one that could justify or atone, not justify, but atone for my sin and your sin. And here in this, Christ, you know, just his words, he could have defeated them because when he answered, I'm he. They wasn't able to do anything. They fell back. Why? Because he wasn't a man like all the others that they'd ever taken and arrested. This wasn't no ordinary man. And you'll find Pilate in his trial, Pilate figured out, this is no ordinary man. Why, he come forth and said, I find no fault in him. You and I today, people been searching down the cross tower. They still haven't found any fault in the Son of God. You and I, we're the ones that deserve to pay the debt that Christ paid down on Calvary, because we were the ones that sinned. But he faced all of that. He was nailing into the cross, and he was still buried. No fault can be found in him, because he killed a perfect sacrifice for me and you in the world today. They're still counting the blood of Christ as nothing, and they walk upon it as if it is nothing. But when they stand before God, they're going to find out that mercy, that love, that compassion that was extended to them for their whole life is come to an end. Now they're going to pay the judgment of God because they denied the sacrifice. They said it was for them. They refused to live according to what God required. And today you and I, we might face a world that no longer wants anything to do with God. But oh, I'm so thankful he's still reaching out. And as we were mentioning earlier, reading Revelation,
You'll find out if we're obedient unto God, we're gonna be in the winning crowd. No matter what this world says or does, that's the thing that should encourage us. When trouble and trials come, look at the words of Christ and know He's able to see us through it. Why? Because He said, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end. And we got to put our faith and trust in Him, knowing that salvation and our acceptance to God is got to be connected between us and Jesus Christ. Because, you know, we're living in a day and a time when there's war right now going on in the world, several of them. And the Bible talks about at the end there are going to be wars and rumors of war. And you'll find a lot of this is being fought over religious grounds. This one praying to this God and this one praying to that God. And yet the Bible lets me and you know there is no other God. And He tells us, I don't care what the Muslims, the Buddhists, whatever religion you want to name, there is none of them that has Christ in their religion as the way to salvation. And yet the Bible says there's no other way that me and you can be born again except through and by Christ. There's no other way we can go to heaven except through and by Christ. So if we're praying, I don't care if we're having a religion here in America where it's Catholic or what it might be. If we're praying to some saint and expecting to get an answer, you're wasting your time. The devil might accidentally let you stumble across something that you think was your prayer being answered. But the Bible tells us Christ is the only mediator between us and God. And each and every one of us are people. I used to work for a family. Oh, they prayed to Mary so much. Why? Because He's the mother of Christ. He can get His attention. Mary is dead, just like every other human being. But Christ sits on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for me and you. Oh, I'm so thankful. Many times He got my prayer answered. Why? Because He cared for me. He died for me. He made a difference that the world wasn't able to make in my life. And you and I, we're going to have to come through and by the blood of Jesus Christ if we make it to heaven. And I don't care what your religion is. When this life is over, you're going to one of two places. And if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've lived the life according to the way God wants you to live, you can go to heaven. Anything else, you're going to end up in the lake of fire, because that's what Revelation tells us. And it's time for us to realize God's word means what it says. We can try and get around it every way, shape, form, or fashion, but we're not going to be able to do it. Look in the Bible. God give us examples from Genesis all the way through the Bible. He give us example after example after example of His word being true. And it's coming to pass just the way that He said it would. And, you know, there's many of the prophets that God have them prophesy things and it come to pass. There's others things that they prophesied that's yet to come to pass. But it's going to. And, you know, in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of things come to pass, Bible being fulfilled in several different ways, things on it. You know, just before, well, 45 was when I was born, and I think it was 46 when Israel become a nation. And I know the Arabs hate her. They won't accept the idea that Israel has a right to exist. And they're wanting to do all they can to destroy her. But God told when they become that nation again, they ain't going to be done away with until Christ comes back. You and I, we need to just accept what God's word says. We might not like it, but you can fight against it all you want to, and you're going to end up losing. The best way I found to read the Bible and enjoy the things of God is accept them. Let them be the basis of your life. Pattern yourself after what God requires of me and you as a Christian. Hunger and desire the things of God. He said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. The world today, they want to be entertained by the things here. But every bit of that is going to pass away. You know, there's football stars, baseball stars, basketball stars. I was just hearing here this week in the news, this man that had, I forget how many, multi-year contract of literally millions of dollars. And, well, he was a coach, and they fired him for some reason. But they're going to have to pay him this money anyhow because that was in the contract. There's ball players. They get some big contract. They get injured to where they can't play. They got to go ahead and pay them that contract. You and I, God give us a contract that's worth far more than anything man can find or buy here. But he put a stipulation on it. We must live our life in obedience unto God. When God casts us aside, that ends the contract with him. We don't get that great big reward that we was looking forward to. Why? Because we failed to meet our part of it. God has already done his part, but he's requiring each and every one of us to surrender ourself, our will unto him. Be a follower of him. Look at John and the other apostles. What it cost them to stand for what was right in the word of God. Not back down off of it. John, I guess, was the oldest apostle that lived. A lot of the others paid for their with their life before that. You and I today, living for God has cost us very little here in this life. And if we're turning our back and walking away because of a little bit of persecution or because somebody has hurt our feelings or something trivial, we would be ashamed of ourselves because Christ, right there in the garden, he could have said, Father, they're not worth it. In his words, he could have left them all laying down on the ground and just walked away. He knew what was going to happen that night. He knew what was going to happen the next day. And he knew it was for me and it was for you. And if he didn't do that, we had no hope. So he was willing because as we were studying in Sunday school, the word of God had said this is what he's going to do, and he was coming because that was the truth, and it was because God loves me and you beyond what we can understand. While we get some song to sing, I beg you, please set your determination to live your life for God, that the world might see that the things of God, they're still true. He hasn't changed. What he said in his word, I don't care if it was back in Genesis all the way to the end in Revelation, what God has said, you can put your faith and trust in it. It's going to come to pass. On God's timetable, he didn't tell us when it was going to happen, but he told us that it's going to happen. And he told us when you see these things come to pass, know that the end is near, even at the door. We're seeing all of those signs right now in the world. So I beg you, what we're saying, if your heart's not right with God today, please, don't let the devil lie to you and tell you, well, what you're doing is good enough. Christ wasn't willing to do less. Christ was sincere and willing to go as far as God had asked of him. He come, he said, in other words, can I not drink the cup that my Father has given unto me? You and I, he knew what it was that we were going to be facing. He knew what it took to redeem us. And he knew for sure he was willing to do that and be obedient unto the Father. Let's each and every one come and pray with these. Come.
Dear God, Father, we come to you, Lord Jesus, only God, we go out, Lord, thanking you, God, for thy holy word, God, thank you, God, for loving me, Lord Jesus, God, I can't understand why, Lord, God, that you chose such mercy and love unto me, but God, I thank you, Lord, I pray, Lord, right now, God, for these here on the altar, Lord, God, you know what's in their heart, God, Lord, you know what they desire from you, God. Let I pray, God, wrap your arms around them, God. Hear and answer their prayer today, Lord. Give them the faith, Lord. God, that they might overcome, Lord. God, the hindrances, Lord, and the trials the devil brings their way, Lord. So, God, that you're the one that holds victory. God, I pray, Father, help them, Lord, Jesus. Not to doubt, God, but to believe you, Lord. God, for you said, Lord, we ask and pray. Lord, you do it, God, I pray, Father. Right now, God, that you would hear their prayer, God. Pour out your spirit upon them, God. Lord, that they might know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God. Lord, that you have healed, God. Lord, that you forgive, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Father, help them with tears. God, that they might hold nothing back, God. Lord, that they might surrender all unto you, God. Lord, I pray, Father, help them, Lord, right now, God, to have that faith, Lord Jesus, to believe, God. Lord, that your word is true. Go with us now, God, my children, Lord. Bless each and every one that's come out this way today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anyone got a word, anything on your heart before we close? All hearts free? Daryl, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Thank you, dear Lord God, that you spoke to us, dear Lord, and you speak to us, so God, I pray. Oh, blessed Jesus, thank you. Oh, I just praise you for
yes, Lord.